You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 259. Now, listeners, we hope that competitions are starting to get moving again, and we promised you an episode whereby we would give you some top tips on getting back up and running and getting back up and running safely so that when you are at a competition, you can give it your best shot and enjoy it. And take every moment out of it. So I'm delighted to welcome Sinead Maynard joining me. Sinead, thank you for coming on to talk to us about this, because it's a big deal. Competitions have been halted. Everybody's had a couple of months off. Everybody's sort of lives have been turned upside down. And finally, things are starting to get moving. And we want to make sure that when things do get moving, everything is moving in the right direction and safely, and everybody can have a good time as they do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think probably I wouldn't be unique, is when I kind of heard that competitions were getting going again, you know, I kind of waited for the rug to be pulled out, and a week later to be told, nope, actually, you know, we're sending your entry back. It's not happening, because that kind of felt like how things, when things started getting canceled or when things were starting to shut down, you thought, oh no, it's going to run. And people were really hanging on to it, and you sent your entry in and then everything got canceled. So I think now we are genuinely kind of 2-3 weeks into when our first entries went in, and we haven't gotten that phone call that says, actually, we're not going, as well as a lot of swimming shows, especially down here in Florida, have started going over the last couple of weeks. So fingers crossed, it is going to start, you know, things are going to start slowly creeping back into the calendar.
They are. And it's almost, we don't want to jinx anything, because we want it to happen so badly. But let's talk about, I suppose we can break this down into a couple of different areas. So on your horse and off your horse. And if we start with your sort of preparations with your horse, so any fitness work, preparations with cross-country schooling, all of those things, let's start there. So fitness. How, a lot of people might have kept their horses ticking over. A lot of people might have actually given them a bit of a holiday. What should people be doing now in terms of, okay, they've got an event up and running. Do they want to get their fitness back before they start entering things?
Well, I mean, I think, again, people need to take a second and realize that it is a new and different time, and we are going forward with different practices. But, you know, most of us, unless this is our first season competing, have brought horses back from injury, or we've brought them back after the off season. Now, this is a strange time of year to be going through that, because it kind of feels like we should be up and going. But I think that most people did give their horses a bit of time off. And then, like our horses, for example, you know, the ones that were proper 3-day fit, we gave them 2 weeks off, and then we had them on a 5-day schedule, and we subtracted the galloping, but the horses were still working. So I think you just have to look at the level at which you want to be back competing, look at the level at which you were competing, and kind of make your fitness plan from there. You know, and recognize it's kind of like starting at the beginning of the season, and the horses need to be fit enough and be in full work at home, obviously, to be able to go out and compete. But like even my horses, I just started galloping, I'm in Florida, so we do a bit of swimming. And so the last couple of weeks, we slowly started doing swimming and the aqua tread, and we've just started back galloping. But my horses all of them will be going out at the preliminary level. If they've been competing above the preliminary level, they'll be dropping down to preliminary for their first run more, so I can just see how they're feeling and get a read on that fitness. I think one of the things that you want to think anytime in your training, anytime with your fitness, anytime in your competition, is you'd be better off getting the horse show and thinking, oh yeah, you know, I feel pretty good. I could have maybe gone the next level, or I could have gone a little faster, than, oh man, like I should have really dropped down, or I went too quick, you know, something along those lines. So, you know, I think you got to look at your individual horse and your program. And if you are not too sure, you need to look to your trainer. You know, hopefully you have someone good that you've been working with to really help them assess where you are as far as your fitness is concerned.
Yeah, that makes sense. And to be honest, from an injury perspective as well, you know, you don't want to be going into the first competition back thinking, great, we're going to get cracking.
Yeah.
And then come away with a silly injury because you weren't quite prepared or you weren't quite fit enough. And then all of a sudden that throws your season out all over again.
And that's where it actually is, you know, if we just take a deep breath, I think everybody, you know, myself included, you know, I got a bit excited when I sent in the entries. And honestly, 2 days ago, the first event that I'm going to is Stableview, and I had advanced horse entered in an intermediate. And I just called and dropped him back down to preliminary because I did a gallop a couple of days ago. And I thought, you know, he's not really quite fit enough yet. And I don't feel like I've had enough cross country schools on him. And it's a good time of year because right now it would kind of be like, we're not doing, you know, the spring 3 days are out. So the fall 3 days are the things that we are looking forward to, but those are still, you know, 3-4 months away. So there's no rush, you know, like it's again, kind of dropping down a level or even two just to go out and really get comfortable and kind of, you know, see where you're at is only going to be good practice. And I actually feel like a huge relief to be able to do that and say, okay, I can actually go and have just a nice canter around and kind of see where we're at. And I think that'll be even a better prep for the fall than going out guns blazing.
I think that's always reassuring, isn't it? Because when professionals such as yourselves are actively going, do you know what? No, I am dropping down a level. And an advanced horse is an experienced horse that knows their job. But you're dropping down in this case two levels, that it's okay to do that. You know, there's nothing to be ashamed of or to be worried about. Actually, you're giving yourself the best possible chance of getting off to a good start. And then you can step straight back up again next time if everything goes to plan. But totally. At least you've got off to a really positive confidence building start.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can factor it that first competition if it helps, you know, deal with it a little bit. Put it in different headspaces, you can kind of factor that first competition as actually being more on your fitness program than your competition program. You know, it's kind of a fitness check to see where you're at so you can plan the rest of the season. And then it even takes it, you know, it takes that competition competitive, you know, where it's all driven into it. It's hard to take that step back. But if you factor the first competition in as more of a fitness run as opposed to, you know, a prep for your final 3 day, it's a little easier to set your expectations reasonably.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, listeners, we're going to release for you a special fitness episode. We actually released it on the Equerating to Venting podcast earlier this year, but I think it's really valid now. And we've got a vet on there, Sam Watson, as well, talking about fitness, how to tell how your horse is fit and how to manage those things. So go and take a listen to that as well, because it'll be really valid. And certainly give you a few little top tips and ideas as to things to look out for in terms of fitness. So, okay, your horse is, you think, fit enough. In terms of specific preparation, let's go for dressage first. What should you be doing at home? Hopefully learn your test. That's a good start. But anything that you should be doing in terms of making sure that you're prepared to go and do that in competition. And this is good practice, I think. It doesn't have to be just coming back at the start of the season or coming back after a break as we've had now.
Yeah.
Things that you can do actually in the preparation for any competition.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, here we are, you know, 3 weeks or whatever from the first kind of events getting going. I mean, it's actually, you know, it's printed out almost a year in advance what dressage test is at which show. So looking that dressage test up right now is going to put you a step ahead of, I would guarantee you, 80% of your competitors, you know, who are looking it up the day before. So I think knowing what dressage test is going to be at the competition, I think breaking down the movements, getting into the dressage arena, you know, it's got to be quite a habit to just throw on the jump tack, you know, and go, you know, mess around in the field. But now I've started putting the dressage saddle back on, going back into the dressage arena and actually working through some of the movements and running through some of the tests. So I think that's something very important. Another thing that you can do with your trainer at home is to have just one lesson that is basically, instead of just working on your basic moves, say, look, I want to practice my warm-up and then I want to run through the test twice, you know, just so I can kind of see where we're at, because it's amazing how we can all win on a 20-meter circle, but when we have to execute the moves as it's called for in the dressage test, all of a sudden we're a little bit, you know, we feel quite rusty. So I think that's a good way to see where you're at.
Yeah. And I think actually with that, sometimes it's very easy in training. If something doesn't go to plan, you go back and do it again. But actually in a dressage test, you don't have a take two, so you've got to carry on. So it's quite good to be able to go in practice, actually, do you know what, set a time for yourself, right? I'm going to do my dressage test at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then work back from there. So maybe your trainer's there and he's going to judge you, or she's going to judge you, but work back from there. What time do you need to be tacking up? What time do you need to be on board? What time do you need to be warming up? Like, those kinds of things I think are really useful, that actually you don't have to do it all the time, but get your trainer to act as a judge.
And I think that's something that we've gotten quickly very good at, is using our phones to video our dressage tests or break things down. So if you can actually have someone video you doing it and even send it, email it to your coach, or the same thing. There's a lot of apps out there. Competitor Tent is doing some online schooling shows, things like that, that you can send your test, your video in, and you can get it actually scored. So I think you can easily, you know, prepare yourself for getting back to competition that way. It just takes a little outside of the box thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so your dressage is ticked off. You're fit. You're ready to go. What about cross country? Because obviously, up until a couple of weeks ago, nobody could go to any training shows or do anything sort of outside their own properties, really. So what about starting back off going cross-country schooling? What would be your best advice for that?
My best, and this advice would flow most of the time with any cross-country schooling, is it would be try not to get all of your cross-country work done in one school. You know, like, that is, to me, one of the most stressful things, is if I see people out cross-country schooling, or I'm training somebody, or even myself, I feel like I have to, in one training ride, teach or reteach or train or practice ditches, waters, banks, galloping fences, corners, skinnies, narrows, coffins.
I'm tired just thinking about all of those.
You know, like, at our farm, just in our show jumping arena, we just, in the beginning of all this, we set up some cross country exercises that were, which just show jumps and small, just working through making sure we still had the tools. And I'm taking horses cross country schooling tomorrow. And in my head, I already know the only thing I'm working on with those horses tomorrow is just jumping some nice fences out of rhythm, stringing three or four together, walking and trotting through the water, getting their feet wet, and popping a ditch. And I'm not doing any technical exercises, because this is their first time off of our property since the beginning of this thing. And that way I already have that expectation in my head. I just want to feel like I can catch a nice rhythm. I can find a couple galloping fences nice and easy out of stride. The horses are comfortable with that. And I'm taking advantage of my $50 spool by making sure I get their feet wet and trot and walk over a ditch. You know, like, that's going to be my first spool. Then my next spool is going to be going back, warming up over kind of some rhythm exercises, again, a table, but maybe just one, and not stringing everything together. Then go through and work on the technical things, putting, you know, jumping a corner, jumping a skinny, that sort of thing. And then my third school before the horses actually go to competition would be looking at each individual horse and just making sure if I feel good, then they don't do their third school. If I feel like, you know what, I really need to go back and jump this one over, you know, a corner combination or a coffin one more time just to feel really good, that third school will be planned into my program so that I don't feel stressed about it. I think that, you know, cross country schooling can be one of the most, like, concern, you know, it's a lot of people when they'll show up for a cross country lesson and I haven't taught them before, their adrenaline is already through the roof and they're worried, they're anxious, and they're nervous. And it's like, this should just be like going out and practicing dressage. You know, it shouldn't have this element of, drama to it. We're just practicing. And if it causes that much concern and drama when you're just schooling, God knows, you know, how you're going to feel when you get to the horse show, because no matter what, when we get to the horse show, our anxiety level spikes a little bit. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that bit of pressure and adrenaline to compete. But when we're schooling, it should feel like it comes fairly easy, and that you're allowed to make a mistake and you can just practice it again until everybody's comfortable. So that would be, I would build backwards from your first event and make sure you have at least three times to get your horse out. And if you only need to get out twice, great, but don't try and get it all done in one schooling.
I think that's really good advice, actually, because it's something to think about when you're entering an event. You know, if you enter an event and you've got 3 weeks before you're meant to be there and ready, and actually you know that you're not going to get out cross-country schooling for a week and a half, then fitting the year three into a week and a half is actually going to be quite tough. So to kind of factor that into when you're making an entry as well is really important, so that you're not under pressure and kind of going into a competition already on the back foot. Okay, so cross-country and dressage is ticked. We're happy with that. What about our show jumping at home, and in terms of what people should be doing? Should they be looking to, I presume, jump a full course, but the same height that they're competing at, bigger, smaller? What would you recommend?
So I would kind of be on the same thing. I mean, you definitely need to jump a course at height, if not slightly bigger than when you get to the horse show. But even if you need to do that just the week before, I don't think you need to be practicing at height or bigger, you know, every time you go out. But I would say, you know, when this whole thing started, we kind of got back with our horses just to some rideability stuff, some Cavaletti work, you know, that sort of thing. And now over the last 2 weeks or so, we've been switching our course up, just working on, you know, like I always have at least three lines set up that are numbers. Okay. So say, like, for me, I find the longer numbers, I think, as most event riders, you know, if you have a distance that's on an 8, 9, or 10, which is becoming more common, it's really easy to lose count. you know, and I find that a lot with the young riders and with the amateurs. And but it's like, once you start getting over kind of 6 strides, it's easy for the horses to get a little, you know, the canter to get a little away from you, for you to lose count, you know, to get distracted. And so what I'm doing now is that instead of feeling like every day I have to go jump a whole course, I'll have at least a line set up that's a 10 stride line, and I'll do it in 9, 10, and 11. Or sorry, I normally start with an ad. I'll do it at 11, 10, and then I'll put it up a little bit and jump it at 9. And then I'll string it around to a straight line that's in a 6 stride, and I'll jump it in 7 and 6. So I'm just now starting to get just that kind of, you know, getting away a little bit, not away, but right now I'm just making sure to incorporate that type of work into my jump days, as opposed to just working on my Cavalettis or my grid work. I'm getting back, you know, getting focused more on the numbers and the things that are going to help me a lot when I get into the show jumping course. And then, yes, I would definitely make sure you at least jump through a course or two at height, if not bigger. I mean, you know, it's funny. My dressage instructor said to me, maybe it was a year ago or 2 years ago. It was probably 2 years ago, actually, because I remember thinking, God, that sounds so simple. You know, we were working with a preliminary horse, and we were starting to work on half passes and a change. And it was really to help some of the work that he was doing at preliminary. And he said, you know, it's just like with your jumping, like, you want to be jumping at least a notch higher than what you're going to have to do in the show, so that when you get to the show, you feel very comfortable with the height. And I found that to be, you know, very true statement. And I would be one that would get, you know, at home, I might end up not putting without it just by, you know, not getting in the habit of it. I'd be jumping maybe at height. Like if I'm going preliminary, maybe I've been jumping at preliminary or even jumping at training height. Whereas now I make sure before I get to the horse show, I at least jump one course that's at a strong preliminary that would have maybe an intermediate size ox or something in there, just so that I don't get to the horse show and myself and the horse feel a little bit like, whoa, that looks big. Because even when you get there and the colors are bright and there's flowers and there's the pressure of it, you don't want to walk that course and feel like, this is big. You want to walk the course and feel like, oh yeah, I've been jumping this height at home. So, and if you're going preliminary, or you're going training, or you're going novice, and you set a course up at the novice height or at the training height at home, and it intimidates you, like there's no problem with, again, dropping down a level until you feel so that you go in feeling really confident the level below. But I think it's very important at home to really take out the measuring stick and make sure that you can jump a course at height before, if not, and you have one or two fences that are slightly bigger that you're comfortable when you get to the horse show.
Yeah, don't trust competition adrenaline to think, oh, well, no, I'll be fine there, because actually it will be harder because there's other factors at play. And that's the other interesting point, actually, in take a measuring stick to it, because quite often you can look at a fence and you think, oh, that might be about X height. But actually, until you measure it, you might be fairly surprised.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, look, I jump, you know, I'll jump 5 to 7 horses a day, and I can look at a jump by the afternoon. I'm setting jumps for, you know, students, and I'm like, I have no idea what height this is. Like, and I do this for a living. So especially as this, you know, if you're, there's no shame. We have a measuring tape out in our field, like, and we use it if when we're setting courses and we're using it, you know, I have all of our jumps, I've had the girls go out and we put a mark with the color of what height it's at. And you'd be surprised, like when we're at home, if I just was left to my own devices, normally with the younger horses, I'm always a little bit too small. And with the older horses, I'm normally a little bit too big. So you normally have to find the middle. So I think that it's a very real thing that you can control. Don't just wing it. And I think, you know, we get in the habit of being a little bit like in a hurry. It's not even being lazy. It's just being in a bit of a hurry, or we don't have somebody on the ground to help us. So you go set the jumps and set one or two at height before you get on, you know, just so that you have something to compare to.
And make a note so that actually once you've done it, you can either refer back to a note in your phone that the 10th hole is X height, or make a note on your jump wing or whatever it is, just so that actually next time you don't need to get the measuring stick out, but you've got something to refer back to. A very good 100%. Advice there. I have to admit, I will hold my hands up and say many moons ago when I was a teenager, I was guilty of going to a competition thinking to myself, oh, the adrenaline will get me through in show jumping because I haven't jumped a track that big. The adrenaline didn't get me through, and I never did it again. So we've been there, and it doesn't pay off. I can say that hand on heart from experience. Okay,
so, I think we've all done that.
Exactly. So there you go. So your horse is fit, ready. You're happy for each of your phases to go ahead with. What about anything else that you can do with your horse? So I suppose there's the obvious sort of health checks that you should be making sure that your horse is in tip-top condition, I guess, a little bit like you would at the start of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it's just making that mental note that you check all of the things, make sure, you know, your cognoms are up to date, your memberships are up to date, all of that sort of stuff, so that when you get to the horse show and you're dealing with all of these new awkward things, like having to wear a mask in the organizing booth or tent, that you're not all of a sudden, you know, stood off to the side shuffling trying to find your membership, or having to write a check because you didn't join something, or you can't find your cognoms and you're shuffling through your phone trying to find, you know, it's just one more thing that being prepared, it just makes life so much easier, you know, control the controllable. So I think that's one of the things that you can just go through and make sure that you've got all of your, you know, your vaccines up to date, that you've got, you know, that, and I think one of the things to really focus on as well is go spend a half an hour in your tack room in your trailer, you know, and make sure that you have your hairnet, you have your sock tie, you have your gloves, have your watch, all of that stuff that, you know, in the winter we kind of go through and get organized. And right now, you know, you're going to have to make sure that you've got your face masks in there as well for you and your crew. And, you know, so you just have all of that sorted out before you get there.
Actually, before, if you had forgotten a vital piece of equipment, you just went and bought it because there would be a trade stand or a saddlery, something at the event that you could have just gone and got it from, or that you could have borrowed it from somebody else. Or but actually, those things are becoming more difficult now. So you kind of need to think, right, I just need to extra double check.
Totally. And sure, I mean, even things as simple as like bringing your own water, you know, for your people, you know, for your staff, for your horses, for your staff, everything, because a lot of the places are not going to have a trade stand. And, you know, down here it's 105 degrees and you're dying with the heat and you don't have any water.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Yeah, kind of getting ahead of that.
Make sure you pack a picnic, plenty of refreshment for everybody, or for the people that are with you. There won't be as many people with you, but for anyone that is a part of your team. I suppose at home as well, you want to make sure that your horse is all their shoeing is up to date and you've got everything that you need from that respect. They might need a little bit of a tidy up. They might need a trip to the hairdressers and make sure that they've had their mane pulls and their trimmed and fast and all of those things as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just like starting your season over, you know, just do all the things that you would normally be excited about doing, you know, getting your tack trunk organized, getting the tack trailer organized. It's kind of a little bit of something fun to look forward to, you know, like all of us really want to get to the hairdresser too.
Think about it. We really do.
So it's like, oh, cool. We get to have a reason to get all cleaned up. So I think that sort of thing could be, you know, something to look forward to.
I think that's a very, very valid point that actually, do you know what? Yes, there has been massive disappointment that the start of the season and a big chunk of the season hasn't been what we all hoped it would be. And there has been so much disruption, but there's nothing wrong with getting excited and planning and preparing and making sure that we're ready for when eventing gets started again. Like, enjoy it, make the most of it, make sure that you take the extra time to do these little details, because actually it'll stand you in good stead for enjoying your eventing season as well. And we've talked about horse fitness, but actually riders need to be ready to go as well, don't they? Because actually some people might not have been able to get to the barn as much and might not have been able to ride as much. So from their perspective, actually we need to look at ourselves and make sure we're ready to go.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the whole, you know, walking your course even can be exhausting if you're not regularly riding and running or doing something that's, you know, a little bit aerobic in your exercise. I mean, there's a lot of people that really haven't, you know, their barns have been locked down, so they haven't been out there. So I think that's something too to really just take note of, especially when you're looking at your calendar starting to plan. It's like you said, like your fitness, like you need to work back with the horses to make sure they're fit enough. And for us as riders, it's just not fun showing up and not feeling good, you know? And so don't set yourself up for that just because you're like, oh my gosh, eventing's starting, I have to go to the first event. You know, that doesn't need to be the thing. The first event that you go to, you want to be as prepared for as possible, that it's going to be on your own individual, on your own individual calendar, you know? So I think rider fitness is hugely important.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so horses are fit, riders are fit. Horses have had all of their vet checks. Everything is up to date that it should be. I suppose the next thing to really think about is actually making sure all of your paperwork is up to date. It sounds really obvious, but, you know, making sure your USEA membership is up to date and that your horses is up to date, because actually it could be one, you don't want it to be one of those things that slip through the net at the start of the year because everything that was going on, and then all of a sudden you get caught out.
Yeah, totally. And again, it's write it all down, you know, like just make yourself your own checklist, or there's a couple of them out there that you can just look at and say, okay, I've got this. So that when you get to the event, you can enjoy it. Like we had talked about before, you prepare as best you can. I mean, all of us know when you get to a horse show, there's going to be certain things that just catch you by surprise. But if it's not 150 things that catch you by surprise, your options, you know, the chances of you dealing with it well and it not affecting your competition are a little bit stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, two things to finish with, I guess. The first one being making sure your transport's okay, because you'd be really cross if you got to the morning of your event, got to your trailer, and you had a flat tire.
Absolutely. You know, and that's, again, when you do your last cross-country schools or something like that and you're shipping off the property, go ahead and prep like you're going to a horse show. You know, check everything, make sure the truck and trailer have gone into the shop, do all of that stuff now that places are opening up again. I mean, it's not worth that last minute stress.
No, absolutely. And you'd really, really kick yourself if something wasn't right. I suppose the last thing that we kind of have to cover in this show, because obviously it is a little bit out of the ordinary, eventing isn't going to be quite how we're used to it. There is a new normal. We spoke about it on the last show in terms of getting back to business. And it's a compromise that we have to make, in so much as we want to get back eventing. And therefore, we have to accept that actually we have to do it in a safe way for everybody, whether it be people competing, whether it be volunteers, the organizers, everybody. So I suppose the final thing is to make sure that you are aware of all of the COVID-19 requirements, that you keep up to date and make sure that you've signed. I think there's a waiver and release of liability that you get with your entry forms, and make sure that you're healthy as well. If there's any concerns over your health, or those that people that you're very close to, or you've got a temperature over 99.5, I think the official figure is. But if there's any doubt, then just be safe. Play safe. Don't take any unnecessary risks.
Well, and I think it kind of gets, the hard part is that as eventers, we kind of view ourselves as these, you know, nothing can get us down and we're so tough and we ride with 7 broken bones, but this is different. It took me a little bit to wrap my head around that as well. And I think the thing that really drove it home was like, if there's a spike in this, USCF will cancel these events. Yeah. And you don't want to be that person, you know, like, don't be that jerk. We all want to get back to the same thing, you know, and I think that there's going to be a certain amount of responsibility that each person is going to have to take on themselves just to make good choices. I mean, I'm good friends with the show organizer down here and chatting with her about it, you know, it's a little bit, there are guidelines, but it's a little unclear how to enforce them all. So it's going to really take each individual being responsible and making sure that you do respect social distancing, that when you are on the ground, you do have your face mask. And look, we're going to be outside. There is going to be, and especially if you're in a place like we are in Florida, it's rural. People aren't really traveling that much outside of going to the barn. But when you're in the organizer's tent, you know, be thoughtful. And when you're running into the bathroom, you know, be thoughtful, wash your hands, do all that sort of thing, you know. And even with the judges, like I know for Florida Horse Park, they have ordered plexiglass to separate the judges and the scribes. You know, like they're putting a lot of investment and a lot of work into making sure that these events can get going again. So even if you feel like, you know, you're tough and you can figure this out, it's just more about being respectful for all the other people that are investing their hard work and time into making sure we can get going again. So I would just, you know, stress to be thoughtful on that level, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there is going to be scrutiny from external groups you know, local government and everything like that. So we don't want to let anything slip through the cracks. And we've got to just be really aware, common sense, make sure that you're safe, you're sensible, and if in any doubt, one, ask the question, or two, just play on the side of caution, because actually playing the long-term game here, we're very much in it. We want this to be, you know, we're back to competition and we're going to stay back to competition. So I think that's a really, really important bit. And go away and look at the USCA guidance, look at what you're expected to do, that when you're on the ground, you have to wear a face mask. So when you get to an event, you're prepared for that. It's not taken by surprise. And hell, practice at your cross-country school. There you go. You can make sure that you've even trained for that. Tanay, thank you so much, because I think this has been really, really useful to kind of actually just talk through all of the different tips and tricks. And I think this is actually useful, even not coming back from a global pandemic, of things that people can do just going into their usual eventing season. So thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm glad we're having this conversation. Things are getting going.
Absolutely, because we are getting going. So listeners, I hope your plans are going well. I hope this show has been useful for you, and that you might have picked up a couple of bits and pieces that you think, actually, that can really benefit me as well. Stay safe, look after yourselves. Make sure, I think the message really from this show is, be prepared and be sensible going into the first events as they get restarted, because we are going to be back up and running a little bit different to how we would normally be. But the important thing is that we're going. So a huge thank you to Sinead, a huge thank you to you guys for listening. And we'll be back very soon with another episode of the USCA Official Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the USCA Official Podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.